Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Good morning!
His life, call his wife.
And what's good about it?
Nothing to say.
4:02. Nick Monagle here with you. It was a glorious weather-wise. Like, that is. Yesterday was pitch perfect, man. That's the perfect weather. Tonight, I walked in with a. I walked in here with a sweatshirt and hoodie and shorts. That's the best type of weather. Hoodies and shorts, that's perfect. I should make a t-shirt, hoodie and shorts.
Yeah, but you're so fed up with the New York Giants that you're repping the other Giants.
That's right. I'm rocking my San Francisco Giants sweatshirt. This is just pure comfort. All right. It's one of those things. It's one of those where you're just miserable. You're disgusted. I probably overate. I probably ate too much pulled pork. And I just wanted to be comfortable. And I put on my most comfortable hoodie. Thank you, Craig. I appreciate it. He got me this all white with a little bit of orange, the City Connect San Francisco Giants sweatshirt. And it's the softest, most comfortable sweatshirt I own. So when I need. It's like, you know, when I need that reassurance, when I need to just feel good and not go nuts. Yeah, when you need that warm blanket, warm cup of milk, you know, a mommy's hug. When you need that, I go to the sweatshirt. Because that's what Giant fans needed after yesterday's debacle. I mean, it was just, it was hard to watch. And it was one of those things like you knew it. Right? I mean, you knew it early on. They went on that 99-yard drive. Sam sticks it in the end zone on fourth down. You get the penalty from Thibodeau that cost you, that would have ended that drive. They continue it. He puts it in on fourth down. And you knew the way this offense was going with Daniel Jones. You just knew that game was over. And so many different things coming out of it. We've talked about all morning, whether it is the play of the quarterback, which, look, if you've listened to me, you know I didn't expect much this year from him. I have not been high on Daniel Jones, but I expected better than the slop you got yesterday. I mean, how many throws at how many people, how many throws behind people, throws at receivers' feet? Just the inability to make simple decisions. You know, any with a guy in his face, like just no touch whatsoever on just to dump off to the running back. I mean, even that's overthrown by 3-4 yards. Like, it's just everything. Just everything. And again, we saw the same thing we saw in Seattle. Uncovered guy off the edge. No adjustment. No audible. No hot route. No nothing. Sack. Guy coming off the edge untouched. Unacceptable year six. I don't care what the coach called. But that doesn't take the coach off the hook, who honestly, because of how we felt about Daniel Jones, is probably the biggest shocking point of this game. Because I've been going on and on and on and on, talking about how positive it is that he took over the play calling. That Stephon Diggs told you the play calling from back in his Buffalo days was through the roof. He would set teams up. He would call plays that wouldn't work purposely. Earlier in the game, just to set up plays later in the game. He was a wizard. He was a wonderful play caller. That's why he's the head coach, the play calling, the development of Josh Allen. And we watch this slop from the quarterback, his third year with him, and then the play calling after an entire offseason of talking about going deep and attacking down the field gives you absolutely nothing. Nothing down the field. Nothing. And I think a lot of that is the quarterback's inability to actually get the ball down the field. But some of it's on the coach and the play calling, the aggressiveness. We saw the aggressiveness. He has been completely neutered as an aggressive play caller and head coach the last 2 years. We saw it again in this game. 3 minutes left in the first half. Doing absolutely nothing all game offensively. Down 14-3. Fourth and short at the 49-yard line. And he elects to punt. I mean, just, this was a coach who turned this franchise around, or at least, God, did it feel like that at the moment. Turned this franchise around 2 years ago, opening week in Tennessee, going for the two-point conversion to win the game with Saquon Barkley, being aggressive, getting in Daniel Jones' face, showing his ability to coach and lead. And last year was an out-and-out debacle, and now back-to-back years, they are now in home openers. In home openers. They are 68. They've been outscored 68-6 in the last two home openers to start the year. another game where you thought, you know, this offseason, a lot of talk about how much better they looked. That, I mean, everyone was just floored with how they went toe-to-toe with the Lions in their dual practices. I mean, this team was the offensive line, all the optimism going in. The offensive line's better. The wide receiving core is better. Daniel Jones finally has a number one in Neighbors. Like, it was going to be, you know, we're actually going to see something offensively. And I, you know, we talked about, oh, the coach is safe. There's some buzz around the idea that the coach could be in trouble. I don't buy that for a second. Yeah, he's an offensive head coach whose offense has completely regressed over the last 2 years and is unable to score touchdown passes. Just took over the play calling duties from a guy who's so respected around the league. Over the last 2 years, he's had a dozen head coaching interviews. You took the play calling away from him, put it in your own hands, and it led to absolute garbage yesterday. And another game where you can't score touchdowns and you allowed Sam Darnold to come in and embarrass you. And the Vikings having an extremely, you know, and you know, Flores coming in with a game plan to just rush for, play back, and say, go ahead, beat us with long, sustained drives. And they're unable to do it because the play calling was inept. The quarterback couldn't hit a wide receiver if his life depended on it. And just the same crap. And if you want to tell me this head coach that we all believed in, this head coach who won Coach of the Year, and we were all going, oh, finally some competence after the three, you know, Mo, Larry, and Curley, that were the three head coaches before this man. And just the idea of any sort of competence got us through the roof on the idea we finally got a head coach. He's an offensive head coach who's brought no offense to this team. How is this guy not on the hot seat if he's not going to at least, I mean, with the wide receiving core so much better, the offensive line so much better, how can you not provide any kind of offense and tell me, oh, no, he's fine. He's, you know, he's a good head coach. He's here for the long term. They, you know, the Giants want stability. Stability with what? You got to score. This offense has to look better than it looked yesterday. And I know it's week one. And I know we overreact and we treat, you know, I know we treat every, hell, we treat every baseball game like it's the World Series, and we treat every football game like it's the Super Bowl. I get it. And next week, they might score some points against Washington, a team that Daniel Jones typically does play well against, and maybe we'll feel a little bit different. But watching that slop to start the year yesterday, watching the tentativeness of the head coach, watching the play calling, watching this quarterback be unable to get the ball down the field yet again, even when they emphasized it all year long, it was just disheartening. And much like Kevin O'Connell, the head coach of the Vikings, said after the game, the Vikings were the better prepared team. The Vikings were the better physical team. The Vikings were more able to execute on a play-by-play basis. They were completely embarrassed by a Minnesota team that I'm not sure how many people think are any good anyway. And they are staring at another season that's dead before Halloween. And a season where they're going to move on from their quarterback because not only is he ineffective, but he gets hurt all the time. And God forbid his contract's on the books for next year. And that's where the Giants are. The Giants are in a position where the quarterback stinks. The quarterback can't stay healthy. And if he continues to stink and can't stay healthy, he might be forced to be making $40 million again next year. It is a disaster where the Giants are in this quarterback room. It is a disaster. The backups are Drew Lock. They're paying $5 million to. And Tommy DeVito. I mean, it is just, and it's, I know it's, there's other reasons why they lost this game. There were bad penalties, the defensive backfield. You know, there's a ton of reasons why it was the 28-6 embarrassment took place. But it's hard for me when I'm trying to think about the future of this team and where they're going to not think about this quarterback position and what a disaster it is and how Daniel Jones is leading them to a train wreck. I mean, for a Giant fan, yesterday was as bad as it gets. That was as disheartening and ugly a start of a season. And we've seen these starts of seasons just implode. The one good year that they had, they started with a win. Like, this was a game they had to win. This was a game they had an opportunity to get off on the right foot, and instead, it wasn't just a tough loss. It wasn't just the other team made a couple more plays. They got their asses handed to them. They were never in it. As ugly as it gets to start a year. Maury and Belmore. What's up, Maury? Tonight is your night, bro.
Tonight is your night, bro. That's all I could say. Nice and slow. Same old Giants. Coach is on the hot seat. I don't care what anyone says.
Has to be.
You're not fixing this quarterback. And you know who's hanging in the bushes, right?
That's the other thing. Bill Belichick is sitting there. We know how much he loves the franchise and the organization.
Yep.
And if they get to a point, like we talk about it, we kind of laugh it off. But in all seriousness, this is a guy right now who you know he doesn't want to be doing fantasy football shows. He doesn't want to be talking to Matt Patricia about the Lions offense. Like he wants to be coaching. And you're going to tell me right now that we talk about the owner who loves stability, right? He loves stability, so he's tired of firing and hiring all these coaches. That's why Dable's not on the hot seat, because he loves stability. Well, if he watches the offensive coach he brought here be unable to get anything out of this quarterback that you know he believes in his ability, the owner believes in Daniel Jones' talent, and this coach, offensive coach, can't come in here and get him to throw touchdown passes, score points, and be successful in any way, shape, or form, they have another miserable losing season, and he has the greatest coach in NFL history waiting in the wings, you know, hopefully, I mean, possibly interested. Now, he might have his choice of jobs. Let's be honest. He's Bill Belichick. And maybe at his age, he's looking for more of a sure thing with a more steady quarterback room. But, I mean, if he could come over, take over the Giants, and build this thing from the ground up, and it's not like that takes 10 years anymore. I mean, he could have this thing rebuilt in 2-3 seasons. That's all it takes if you get the right quarterback in the room. I mean, you want to talk about stability. The Mara never has to make another hire in his lifetime. He's going to hire, you hire Bill Belichick, and you say, what do you want me to do? Bill Belichick's got 5 years to build this thing. That's it.
Yeah. And I don't know what happened to Dable, the aggressiveness in year one.
Maybe I don't know.
He had all the cards on the table. But you see a different coach. He's handling it different. And it's frustrating to watch because, you know what, they don't have the players on this team. The defense lacks. The D-backs are lacking. And they go into this season thinking they have a shot, which is ridiculous. And I've been telling everyone, we've got no shot. Maybe 6 wins. One other thing. I didn't like Brady on the broadcast. He sounds like he's on helium. He sounds like a different person when he's talking. Mm. Maybe he gets better. Maybe he gets a little better. But, I mean, you get rid of some guys that are professionals versus giving this guy a shot.
They had him hired. They had him hired and under contract a couple years ago. It wasn't straight up just, you know, what's his name last year? Did a great job. Olsen did a great job last year. He's a very talented broadcaster, but they had this thing in the works, and it's one game. It's Tom Brady's first game. As much as I hate Tom Brady and I'd love to kill him, I thought he was okay. I listened to it a little bit. I didn't think his voice overly bothered me. I do think he said, he responded to yeah. Every time Burkhardt would make a point, he would go, yeah, you know, I. Like it wasn't great. I'm sure he'll get better. It's his first game, and honestly, I don't get hung up on the broadcaster. I don't. I've never turned on a game because of who's calling it, and I've never turned off a game because of someone who's calling it. I don't really care. That's just how. I'm watching so many games. Unless he's doing. When he actually does a Giant or a Jet game, I'll give you a better take on it. I wasn't like totally locked in on Cowboys, Cowboys Browns, especially when it became obvious that the Browns and Deshaun Watson weren't going to be able to compete.
Yeah, at times I didn't know it was him. It didn't sound like him, is my point. At times I didn't know it was Brady. Okay, and then last point. Torres does it again, first inning error. And then what do you think about the booth between the sort of little argument between the two?
I mean, I think...
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard it.
I like that insight because I would be ripping him apart. Be like, you know, you're a real loser. Why didn't you talk to me on the way over? I mean, that's an insight.
I know. Thank you for the call, Maury. I think it was overblown, the fans' reaction to it. If you don't know what Maury's talking about, in the broadcast booth, I guess it was Friday, Michael Kay and Flaherty, you know, Flaherty told the story about, you know, Michael kind of ignoring him on the bus. I forget exactly what it was. I didn't care. But something along those lines. Oh, you didn't give me a bus? Oh, what are you talking about? And it became a little awkward. And it sounded like, to me, Flaherty was trying to be playful with a dry humor. And Michael didn't get it, but they're fine. They addressed it the next day, and I don't get hung up on that stuff. It was kind of funny. The reaction to it, I thought, was overblown. It was clearly, I didn't think Flaherty would pick that spot Flaherty never does games with Michael Kay either. I mean, you know, Flaherty typically is doing games at Ruka. They even joked about that. Like, to be there with the main broadcaster, if they really do have an icy relationship, I mean, John Flaherty's one of several guys who they do. I doubt very much he's going to pick a fight live on air if he didn't think at least it was sort of playful. But they addressed it, and who cares? But yeah, the Gleyber-Torres thing, it is amazing to me, right? And I know, here we go, he's the Yankee, and we're going to get off the Yankees. We're not doing a ton of Yankees today. They're not the story. Football is. But you asked. My Yankee shill comment of the day here is, it is amazing to me that whenever Gleyber-Torres makes an error, it's going to cost the Yankees. It is. There's something about it. And it's almost the same with Clay Holmes. I know, here you are defending Clay Holmes again. I know. When other guys hit a hard ground ball up the middle, the play is made. But when Clay Holmes gives one up the middle, it's a base hit. Like, it's just one of those things. And the same thing with Gleyber-Torres. Other guys can make errors, and it might not cost the Yankees. But you know, in that first inning, when it's Gleyber who makes the error, somehow it's going to bite the Yankees in the ass. It's amazing. It is amazing. And it just never fails. Now, I'm not trying to tell you they're few and far between. He leads the American League second baseman in errors. So they've been plentiful. But it just feels like, for whatever reason, it feels like when he makes it, you know it's going to cost them. You know it. And that's not why they lost the game. They pitched incredibly well in the series. They gave up zero earned runs in the three games, two earned runs in the first inning. Cole settled in. He was a little shaky. He doesn't have to follow it up by walking Tauchman. And then, let's be honest, here's another thing coming out of that game and that sequence. Aaron Judge not only is slumping at the plate, he has not been good in center field. Just flat out. Has not been good. Now, I don't know if it's because he doesn't want to push it. Maybe he's nursing something, and God knows. I don't care. Let that ball drop 100 times out of 100 before risking injury and diving for it. You need him offensively. You need Aaron Judge healthy. But Paredes gets that base hit that knocks in two. You could see it as soon as Paredes hits it, he puts his head down like, damn. Because that ball stayed up in the air long enough to be caught. And Aaron Judge has just not played a good center field. Another reason to bring up Dominguez. Put a center fielder out there and put Judge in a corner outfield spot and improve your outfield a little bit. Because Judge is hurting them in center field. Previous years, Judge has been a fine center fielder. This year, I think he's been subpar. But to get back to the point, yeah. When Gleyber-Torres makes an error, you bet your ass it's going to hurt you. When Weaver had a shaky inning when his first game closing, but, you know, it was going to be fine. He was going to get through it. When it's Clay Holmes, the ball's going to get through. Someone's going to make an error. The bloop's going to drop. Like, it's just one of those things right now. Those two players seem cursed. And as great as Gleyber's been offensively, when he makes an error, when he makes a mishap, when he makes a bad play base running wise, whatever the case may be, if Gleyber-Torres makes a mistake, you bet your ass it's going to cost the Yankees. It's amazing. Danny and Belrose. What's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning, Chris. What's going on?
What's up?
The Giants stunk the place up yesterday, I can tell you that. Woof.
They certainly did.
The booze were raining down like rain, you know, even though it was a beautiful
day. Raining down like rain.
But,
it was a beautiful day. It's almost like part of the reason I'm more mad about it is I made sure my plan wasn't even to bring a TV outside. I was like, screw this. It is gorgeous out. I brought the TV outside. Yeah. We ate outside. Like, it was perfect.
Yeah,
this morning I went out and I was smoking a pork butt. So I'm out there smoking a butt over the course. I had it in there for 18 hours, low and slow. And so I went out there this morning at like 6:45, 7 a.m. to check on it. And it was just like the perfect crisp chill. I went out, immediately went inside, made myself a cup of coffee, sat outside. It was a glorious day. It was perfect weather. And then the Giants freaking ruined it with that display of just crap. It was unbelievable how bad they were in this game.
That face mask by Lawrence, Dr. Lawrence, that just put the icing on the cake.
I think they called it on Burns, but it was actually Thibodeau. It was third and long. They were going to get off the field, and instead it prolonged the drive. It led to them going 99 yards and Sam Darnold sticking it in the end zone when they go single coverage on Justin Jefferson on fourth and goal. I mean, like, now he actually played it pretty well, and he had to throw the ball perfect to get it in there. But still, like, that's just mistakes, man. So many mistakes. But ultimately, it's hard for me. And I wish I could. I wish I had a more rounded argument. I honestly do. And thank you for the call, Danny. I wish I had more of a. I wish I could come on here and tell you, well, listen, do you remember this play and the defense on that play and the face mask? Yeah, you're right. And, you know, you could talk about the play calling and you could talk about a million different things. And, you know, I have a hard time getting past the quarterback. I have a real hard time. He doesn't give them a chance to win. He doesn't give them a chance. This is year six. The year of Daniel Jones takes six. And he's got uncovered rushers off the edge, and he doesn't react to it. He doesn't adjust to it. He doesn't slide the line. He doesn't call an audible. He doesn't hit the hot route. He just takes the sack. That's unacceptable. And we can get on the play calling and the coach, and he had a miserable day too. And I think he's on the hot seat, and I'm concerned about him moving forward more than I ever was before. But that there's just a level of play that a six-year quarterback has to have. You've got to be able to have a guy in your face and still dump it off to a running back. You have to be able to step into the pocket and hit your tight end and not in his ankles. Like, there are just plays out there that have to be made, and he can't make them. Like, it's been said by a couple of analysts after I think Sean O'Hara said it. I've heard it a couple times. The Vikings' plan defensively was just, I'm going to lay back. I'm not going to blitz you. I'm going to rush with four. I'll probably get home sometimes with your lousy offensive line. But even if I don't believe that this offense and Daniel Jones can make enough plays to give me a long, sustained drive to get down the field. Even dinking and dunking, they can't do it. And that's what it felt like. It felt like, you know, part of the reason they didn't go deep was the quarterback, the game plan, but part of it was, you have to be fair, the defensive game plan of the Minnesota Vikings. They made sure that the Giants couldn't go down the field or didn't have openings down the field. I still think you got to take chances, especially down the way they were, but whatever the case may be, sure, let's give the Vikings and Flores some credit, good game plan, but pretty much they said, we're going to not let you get deep. We're not going to let neighbors make big-time plays down the field. Let's see if you can make 5-6-yard plays up and down the field and get into the end zone. And they can't. They can't. Because he can't string three good throws together. Chris in Seagirt, New Jersey. What's up, Chris?
Yeah. What's the deal with the reporters for the Giants who cover them?
I don't know, but I mean, God bless them.
Well, they don't challenge all the answers that Daboll gave yesterday.
He didn't give any
it's
answers.
It's on me. We got to do better. And I heard one of the reporters say, Dave. So now they're like on friendly basis, or you're giving him his nickname. You should say, listen, you stink. You, Daniel Jones,
you want the
same quarterback that he was a couple years ago. And they're not challenging him.
What do you want him to challenge him? It became, you're 100% right. He didn't give a damn answer. He answered every question. He thought that just by saying, it's on me, was going to satisfy some of us or something. I don't know. Like, yeah, okay, he took personal responsibility. He answered every question. Daniel Jones, throwing balls at people's feet. What did you think of Daniel Jones? Look, I got to look at the tape. We all got to do better. It's on me. That was the answer to every single question. They asked the questions. What would you like them to do? You just said it. Do you honestly expect them to say, hey, Dave, you dunk today? Like, I mean, that's not how it works.
They can only push him so far.
It would be one thing if he gave an answer and said, no, I thought Daniel Jones was good. That's when you push back and say, excuse me, sir, Daniel Jones was good? Like, there was this, that. But, like, if he's going to clearly just not answer the question, and no matter what you say, he's going to say, yeah, look, you know, I got to watch the tape, and, you know, we all got to be better. It starts with me. Like, if he's going to answer literally, you know, what's your name with, hey, look, you know, I didn't watch the film yet. I got to watch the tape. And, you know, we all got to be better. It starts with me. What do you want them to do?
Can I say one thing, please?
Of course you can.
Okay.
It would probably
be the familiarity between the Giants reporters and the coach is disturbing to me. It shouldn't be that familiar that they're not putting him on the hot seat. Because as a fan, why should I watch another Giants game if I'm going to see a retro David, Daniel Jones. I don't need to watch
Giant. I mean, listen, if you don't want to watch them, that's fine. I'm disappointed, and I don't trust Daniel Jones for anything. But what do you... I mean, these guys work with him every day. They talk to him every day. They're going to get familiar. They also want stories. And, like, this is not new. I mean, it's not like the Giants are the only group, the Giants reporters are the only group who have a comfortability with their with the head coach. Like, it's just the way it is. Like, I didn't feel familiarity
that they were afraid to ask the tough questions.
No, I disagree. I think they asked the tough questions.
That's my opinion. No, I don't think so.
I hear you. No, they did it. He's not answering it. Like, he's not even entertaining anything. Like, what do you... I don't know what you want them to do.
Challenge him to say what?
Get ready.
Okay, let me ask the question.
I'll be Dable. You ask the question. Go ahead.
Hey, Coach, if a fan is listening and all they're hearing is you saying, it's on you, we got to do better, why should they trust you?
Well, I mean,
why should they actually trust you?
Well, I can't speak to what other people should do. I just, you know, we got to look back and we got to be better.
You just asked me what I would ask them. That's what if I were.
And I just gave you the answer that he's going to give. Like they asked them tough questions. He didn't answer the questions. It's one you push back when he gives BS answers. He didn't give answers. He fell back on, yeah, look, I didn't watch it. I didn't watch the tape. What did you think of this guy played? You know, I didn't watch it. I got to watch the tape. Like, everything. How about the offensive line? You know, the gelling together? You know, yeah, I mean, like, I thought, you know, I didn't see the film, so I got to watch it, and, you know, we all got to be better. Like, he answered that. That was his line. He was answering every question that way. What would you like him to do? I don't disagree with you that sometimes they don't hold coaches to the fire. And not just the Giants, reporters in general, I suppose. There's been plenty of times I've listened to a press conference and at the end of it go, how the hell didn't they ask this? Like, of course. But yesterday, like, he's not saying anything. He's not, that's on to Cincinnati. Without the Super Bowl championships. Like, there's nothing there from Brian Daboll. Nothing. He's not entertaining the questions. He chose to ignore the press conference. It could have been like, you know, he's Marshawn Lynch or anybody. Like, he was pretty much like, is it Ferris Bueller? I don't think it's Ferris Bueller. I forget which movie it was, but like, it's a college class and the professor just put the tape recorder there, press play, left, and his lecture was just on the press. That was Brian Daboll. Brian Daboll could have recorded that sentence and just played it on loop. You want him to hold his feet to the fire for what? He's not answering anything. Eric and Ronkonkoma, what's up, Eric?
Yeah, good morning, C-Mac. How you doing?
Yeah, what's up, man?
All right, so just real quick. I mean, let me just preface it by saying I didn't watch the game. I was seeing Beetlejuice 2, but I was kind of peeking in on the game. But coming out of there, there was a car pulled up. Guys wearing Giant gear, so I asked them. When he got out, I said, oh, did you go to the game? He goes, yeah, unfortunately. I'm like, so it looked like a brutal game and everything. He's like, yeah, and there were so many Vikings fans there. Now, I didn't watch it, so I don't know. I mean, you know, if you watched it, what the feel was on TV or whatever. But then the worst part was, you know, he was saying his wife got him tickets for his birthday. His wife gets out of the car. She's wearing Vikings gear. Uh-huh. So I'm like, oh, boy, that's even doubly worse. But he said that there was a ton of Vikings fans there, I don't know how well they normally travel.
Yeah, I'm sure that, and thank you for the call. I'm sure the Vikings travel pretty well, and you know, most teams do. I mean, it's New York is a, you know, one of those cities that has, you know, people from all over the country here. But I mean, I didn't get the until the end of the game. I mean, the end of the game when all the Giants fans had left and the Viking fans that were there were throwing the party. Yeah, I'm sure it felt like a lot of Viking fans. I mean, that's what happens. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that gets you fired. Like, you want to talk about, again, you want to talk about this coach and his security in his job? What gets you fired is you're an offensive coach and you don't have an offense. What gets you fired is you're a quarterback whisperer and your quarterback stinks. And what gets you fired is you open the season back-to-back years, and all you hear is the opposing team's fan base in the fourth quarter. That's what gets you fired. Reports Brian Daboll thinks he's coaching for his job. I think he is. And he's doing a terrible job of it after week one. 888, that's why he doesn't have answers for you. That's why the press conference was what it was. What's he going to tell you? We all suck right now. We got to be better. It starts with me. That's about it. Ask him tough questions like what? The fan base is booing you. It's nothing but Viking fans in the fourth quarter. Daniel Jones was awful. What do you got to say? Well, you know, I can't speak to any of that. I didn't see the film. And we got to be better. It starts with me.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
New England has no timeouts remaining, 23 seconds to play, and the Jets are going officially now to the AFC Championship game against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 4:37 on this Monday morning. We actually got, hopefully, some good football tonight. I'm looking forward to this Jet game. The line's already down to 3.5. I guess other people are on the Jets as well. I think the Jets have an excellent chance to win this football game. We're past all of it. Let's just go play the game. Let's see Aaron Rodgers play in a Jets uniform. But I like their chances. I think this roster is loaded. You know, I feel about the Jets. I think they're very good. And I'm just concerned, a little bit of a Super Bowl hangover for the 49ers. You know, the numbers, they're like 5-19 Super Bowl losers, week one against the spread the next year. They've had a lot of turmoil in that room with Ayuk and Trent Williams. So I just think the Jets have a really good chance. And I think this could be a game that sets up what could be a very good start of the season, because you look at the rest of their schedule. And the Jets have a chance to really, you know, rattle off a couple wins here. As long as Rodgers can stay healthy, I think they have an excellent chance. So tonight we play Monday Night Football. Looking forward to it. A lot of different things happened throughout the league yesterday. For the first time in 45 years, three teams had trailed by 14 points or more and came back to win. The Bears were down 17 points, which not only were the Bears down 17 points, but the Bears are down 17 points against Tennessee. They come back to win 24-17 without scoring an offensive touchdown. So not only did they come back from down 17, they did it without scoring an offensive touchdown. And then obviously the Buffalo Bills were down 14 and Josh Allen led them back. And Miami was down 14. And that game scared me a little bit. I was big on the Jags this week. Obviously the craziness with Tariq Hill before the game, getting detained briefly by police officers for a vehicle violation right outside the stadium. Videos of that. You know, he's possibly threatening legal action. I think one officer already kind of on administrative leave. Just a crazy situation. Obviously similar to what happened with the golf a couple months ago. But that game, it looked like the Jags were going to run away with it. A few Jet fans, obviously, every team in the division comes back and wins. Buffalo gets a win where it looked like maybe they were going to get tripped up by an early season surprise team in the Arizona Cardinals. And then obviously, I mean, the Dolphins are in big trouble. Big trouble in that game. That offense looks terrible. Tua's got nothing going on in the passing attack. Trevor Lawrence looks really good. Etienne's about to go in for a touchdown, fumbles it through the end zone, and the game changed on a dime from that moment on. Just changed on a dime. And for that, that Jags team that blew the second half, I know Lawrence was hurt, but they were about to be the one seed. They came back from London on fire and completely fell apart. And now they had a game to make a statement here, really, in Miami to take out the Dolphins early on, outclassing them, and blew that game. Up 14 points, blew it. Obviously, big touchdown to Hill for 80 yards. And that passing attack can be dangerous. Achane is obviously a dynamic running back. So a lot went on in the NFL yesterday. We can get to it more as we get through the week and we'll prepare for tonight's Monday night game. Jets, 49ers, Aaron Rodgers actually playing for the New York Jets. I can't wait. I'm pumped for tonight. John and Maspeth, what's up, John?
T-Mac, how's it going, man?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Football's back, baby. Football's back, finally.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, so one thing about Daniel Jones, right? And, you know,
do we have to?
He just sucks. He just sucks. Just put it plain simple. He sucks. He's not the quarterback that Daboll and Schoen wanted, and it should not cost them their job that the team is going to be bad this year. Let the team be bad. Let them get the quarterback that they want in the draft.
And then they have 3 years to develop that quarterback. They get 6 years because of Daniel Jones?
It's not their fault. It's not their fault that they got stuck with Daniel Jones.
It's their fault they paid him. Who paid him?
Well, they were forced to pay him. They were kind of forced to pay him.
I mean, but those are the decisions you make as a GM.
And there was nobody out there.
Yeah, I mean, I have a tough time just giving him a pass forever. Like, now, like, this was the year to draft a quarterback. Now they're going to get back in the draft and draft a quarterback. Now they get three more years. Like, he's got to show some offense.
They try to get Drake May, but they couldn't. But let them just get their quarterback in the draft, whether it's Beck or Sanders or Quinn Ewers, and give them a year or two to just develop that quarterback and see what's going on.
So it doesn't matter what they do offensively.
Daboll is not a bad coach.
This offensive coach doesn't have to do anything. He doesn't have to improve offensively. He doesn't have to get something going offensively. It's okay. You know, to be here in year three.
Look at what he's working with. He's working with a quarterback that's scared out there, that's like throwing ground balls. You can't, you know, it's like what Bill Parcells said. You know, if you want him to cook the meal, he's got to pick the ingredients.
They paid him. They went to the supermarket and paid for
him. They had a gun down their throat.
No, they didn't. They didn't have to. I mean, listen, I don't think they had much of a choice, but they had no choice.
If they didn't pay him, then who were they going to bring in?
I don't know, but you told me he can't play the position. Somebody on less money. They could have got rid of him and paid Baker Mayfield for less money.
They had no other option. They had no other option out there.
I don't disagree with that sentiment on some level, but if you're going to tell me that they're just that decision has no impact on whether or not they keep their jobs and that the quarterback stinks, so what do you want them to do?
Like,
I'm sorry, it's too much. How many years does he get? How many years does I mean? So then you draft a quarterback, you get 3 years to develop him? He gets 6 years without winning? What head coach in this league gets 6 years without winning? I agree with you on Daniel Jones. I agree with you they were in a tough position to sign him. But you know what? Like, he's got to be, like, you got to figure out how to get some kind of offense. Some. He's an offensive head coach. They got a good wide receiving core. The revamped offensive line. Figure out a way. He took this quarterback to the playoffs. Get something going. And I'm not saying he should be fired today. I'm just saying, like, it's going to be tough for me if this team looks like this all year long. If this offense provides nothing, it's okay. Give him a quarterback. What faith do I have now because of Josh Allen 5 years ago?
And it takes the knee of the New York Giants are the Super Bowl 42 champions.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
They knock off the mighty Patriots 17-14.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 4:50, McMonagle here with you. A couple things. A little look-ahead line for a Monday morning for next week already. I think it opened up at 6.5. It's down to 5.5, but Bengals plus 5.5 at Kansas City next week. That's an overreaction line right there. I know they were awful. They lose to the Patriots 16-10. They could get nothing going offensively. It's the Kansas City Chiefs. I understand that, but the Bengals are a very good football team. The Bengals are going to bounce back, and we know historically what Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes has done as larger favorites at home. So just looking ahead, that seems like a little bit of an over-exaggeration. It was 6.5 down to 5.5. I don't like it as much. I got it at 6.5. But if you want to look ahead, that's usually a overreaction spot right there from the Bengals after obviously having a miserable game, losing to the Patriots and doing me a favor and knocking out about, I don't know, 40% of all the people in the knockout pool. Thank you, Bengals. And then, of course, the other one that I want to talk about is the Panthers and how they got absolutely steamrolled by the Saints. And that was like a lot of people's trendy little pick, the Panthers. everything I read, a couple podcasts I've listened to, they love the Panthers this year. Love them as an over for the season. Love them in this game against a miserable head coach and a miserable head quarterback in the Saints. And this game was over before it started. I mean, they are awful, the Panthers. And Young is just, I mean, I'm not sure he's capable of playing the position. I mean, you watch him out there. He's just terrible. Terrible. And the Saints just absolutely steamrolled. That game was, I mean, and when I say everyone was on the Panthers, everyone was on the Panthers. Mario in Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
What's going on, C-Mac? How you doing, buddy?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
You know that game was terrible. You just look at two plays, right? If Jones doesn't throw that pick in the end zone, right?
Yeah.
And they score, that's +7 for them. If he doesn't throw the pick six, that's -7 for them, yeah. And then it's a one-score game.
That was the moment right there, because they're down two scores, right? They get the field goal, then they get the three and out. They punt it back. If they can go down the field and get within one score here, you feel like, okay, maybe you have a game. And the first play is he just throws it to the defense. Now, look, I get it. It's a quick turn and throw. The guy went up the field and made a great play. But it's just like that was the game right there. Let's be honest. They were not coming back from that. And then, yeah, in the end zone, I mean, but he threw behind it because he's trying to make sure he gets it behind the safety coming from the other direction. But he misreads it and throws it right to him. Like, he's just brutally bad. He's just
exactly
bad. How many throws are at people's feet? How many throws behind wide receivers? Nothing is in stride. Nothing. I mean, he just looked awful in this game. Now, look, I'm venting and I'm getting it out of my system, as disgusted as I was, he is coming off major injury. Cousins was terrible for Atlanta, too. Like, there is a little bit of rust that needs to get knocked off. I don't think he'll be this bad, but I don't think he's very good. Like, he's just there. It's a brutal spot there in the Giants.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah, when you were saying earlier, if you got to watch this off, you know what it's turning into? Zach Wilson of the Jets. Turning into that.
Yeah, I mean, but making $40 million in here for year six. Year six! It's Zach Wilson half a decade later. Like, that's the issue. Zach Wilson had two miserable years. He was supposed to ride the bench for the third year. They didn't, plan good enough, and he was forced into a third year of action. Now he's gone. They gave Daniel Jones $40 million. That's the problem. That's the problem. Leave it to the Giants to have one good year in the last eight and have it be the worst year of all. The year that cost them moving forward. I mean, it's just a disaster. It's just a disaster. I mean, I understand what's going on right now in Cleveland. I get it. Watson is brutally bad, coming off a shoulder injury. He looks terrible throwing the football, not making plays. That's a tough situation, and considering he got guaranteed $230 million, they're in a brutal spot. But what other spot? What other, like, this is a quarterback who's never been good, who they paid, and it's year six, and we don't know. Like, what other? And he just had the worst first game you could possibly imagine, and he hasn't put a good game together since Minnesota in the playoffs 2 years ago. He played last year. People act like he didn't play. He played. And besides one half against the Cardinals, he was atrocious. It's year six. We don't know. He's already been paid. What a disaster. Richie in Queens. What's up, Richie? Richie. Nope. All right, Pat in the Bronx. What's up, Pat?
Hi, Chris. I gave the Giants a half's worth on TV. I think that was generous of me.
Yeah.
To watch even one half of that.
That's
game.
All you needed was the first drive, to be totally honest with you. But yes.
Really terrible. The Sunday Night Football is a bit compelling, I thought. I thought it was definitely worth staying up for that.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jets tonight, let's go. You know, I lost my quarterback Jordan Love in the fantasy pool for up to 5 weeks.
Yeah,
Aaron Rodgers is my backup.
Tough. You know? Who? Aaron Rodgers is your backup? I think that's a pretty. That's a pretty good backup.
Well, I know it's tough, you know, because I'm trying now to scrap to find a backup quarterback for Rodgers because the worst can happen. I'm not asking for the worst to happen.
No, I got you. Yeah, no, listen, Love. That's a brutal injury at the end of that game. I mean, just that sucks, and that field was in bad condition. That game was ugly. I know a lot of Giants. I don't know. I mean, it's tough to get a reaction on Twitter. I haven't taken phone calls after it. I'm interested. The Giants were so miserable today that it's lost focus. But obviously, Saquon Barkley has the big game. I mean, we knew this was coming. Prepare yourself. Saquon's going to have a good year. The Eagles are talented. The Eagles have a good offensive line. Eagles have a good quarterback. Eagles have a good team. He's going to have a good year. But it wouldn't have happened here. It wouldn't have happened here. And if Saquon Barkley were in this game yesterday, maybe it's 28-9. Richie in Queens. What's up, Richie?
Can you hear me, C-Mac?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
I got you now. I went to the game yesterday. I've been going since 1960. I don't want to go into my past too much. I've been to 57 games through the years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I missed some when I was in the service. I didn't go there in the 70s, how bad they were. This was the most disappointing game I've ever been to. I've never left with 7 minutes to go in the first quarter. Wow. You walk in with screaming Big Blue, and maybe I'm out of touch, and I see them in Cornell red uniform. It took me like
the
5 minutes.
The uniforms are, I forgot to even mention that. The uniforms are hideous.
They are horrible. And then they get the first turnover. Correct. Get seven. They get three. Yep. And then there was plays in the middle of the game where Dable had him run two times in a row when it was 14-3.
Mm-hmm.
And they had second and nine. He ran for four. Then he ran again, and then he had to kick off. You know, Dable takes a hit, like you said. I've not been a big fan. He's ornery. He's cranky. Yes, he's not their quarterback that did not draft him. But they gave him the $40 million.
Absolutely.
Work with him. And you know, and their comments after the game, it was just a horrendous. And look, I don't complain about the money anymore. It is what it is, C-Mac. 245, Section 312, up above.
Yep.
$50 for Reds, $50 for food, $350. All you want to do is see competitive game. If they lose 21-20, that was hideous.
No.
And you know what? I don't see, I hope I'm wrong, but from what I saw yesterday, this is going to be another long, horrible season.
And thank you for the call, Richie. What in the world did they give you to have any confidence moving forward? Now, do I expect them to be this bad all the time? I hope not. I do think they've improved the offensive line. I do think they have a wide receiver group that can actually make some plays. I do think the defensive front can be relatively good. But, I mean, what did you see yesterday from the coach, from the quarterback, from anybody that makes you think this Giant team is going to have a season? It was as bad as it gets. And again, the last two home openers, they have been outscored 68-6. They start these seasons inept. And it doesn't get much better. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. I'm out of here. I'll catch you tomorrow after the Jets. Let's go, Jets!
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.